Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study summary. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we can study your word. I pray you'd open our hearts and give us strength. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Our study today is in 1 John. And the point of our study is because Jesus has won the victory, his people are victorious. That is, Christians are victorious. You know, today we see righteousness fighting against wickedness. And if you get your information from the news media, darkness seems to be winning. But when you read the Bible, you discover that the opposite is really true. Darkness may seem to be winning, but it has already been defeated. Jesus has won the victory. And we, his followers, are on the winning side. We have the ultimate comeback story in the Lord Jesus. Now, we're in 1 John chapter 3. Let me begin reading in verse 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what he pleases. Now, in the former, the other passages of Scripture in 1 John, John talks about the fact that we are to love one another, because love is really the proof of genuine salvation. Sadly, we have times in our lives when we really don't love like we ought to, and that can cause us to doubt and think, maybe I am not a Christian, maybe I'm not what I'm supposed to be. But John, that's what John's readers were struggling with. And for this reason, John wrote to assure them, and he reminded them that God looks beyond our failures to the true intent of our hearts. Sometimes we can see ourselves wrongly, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to condemn ourselves because we're thinking wrong. God sees us through Christ's righteousness. Listen to these words. They're so beautiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. It's good news to know that when we trust the finished work of Christ, Romans 8, 1 says that there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ, we can walk in victory over doubt. This confidence allows us to pray with boldness. Verse 14 in 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You see, assurance really grows in us, and that allows us to pray in faith according to God's will. 1 John 3:21 and 22, we just read it, said, if our hearts condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. You see, prayer in this way carries a promise, but it is a promise with a condition. We must keep his commands. See, God takes pleasure in answering prayers that are offered from an obedient heart. God doesn't want us to perform for him. He wants us to please him. He wants our obedience to come out of love for him, not merely out of obligation. Listen to verse 23. And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. These two commands function together as one true test of our Christianity. If we believe the right doctrine and we show the right ethics, it confirms our faith because we are obeying the commands to believe Jesus and to love others. And that in turn produces the assurance of our salvation and confidence in prayer, because it's only through living in him that we bear fruit of, and that fruit is love and obedience. The more we believe, the more we love, the more we obey, the more we have faith, that will produce fruit in our lives. John wasn't talking about actions we do to earn our salvation. He's talking about how we deepen our relationship. That's what living in Christ is all about, folks. When we come to Christ in faith, he comes to live in us through his Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, Paul said this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And since Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Even as Christ lives in our lives through the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit draws us to live in him and obey him. I love Philippians chapter 2. It says, "We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You see, the working out of our salvation and our living for Christ is the result of the Spirit of God working in us. And the proof of the Spirit's presence really should give us security. And that security should breed fruitfulness. So don't base your security on how you feel, but what you know. We have victory because we live in Jesus and he lives in us. Now, 1 John chapter 4 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Hallelujah for that. You see, our relationship with Christ is a source of our victory here in the world. His Spirit resides in us and every Christian. And we have been given power to overcome the world. Christ has conquered everything in this world, including all the false prophets, all the antichrists. And we must be on our guard against false teaching, because false prophets are masters of confusion. However, the scripture is very clear that God is not the author of confusion. God desires peace to reign in our hearts. And we are to test the spirits. And I would be a terrible pastor if I didn't say to you, if you hear something that you don't agree with, come and talk with me about it. And if I have said something wrong, I'll correct it. It's interesting, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's what I would encourage you to do. If you hear something, you search the scriptures. Look to see if it's true. See, the ultimate test is, what does a teaching or a sermon say about Jesus Christ? Of course, there are other false teaching can be present, especially if you don't hold the Bible as the solely inspired word of God. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul said this, "I marvel that you are turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what was received, let him be accursed." And here in 2 John, it says, "If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Folks, we have to be on guard. Cults and false teachers always take away from God's word, or they add to it. And in Revelation 22, it talks about the plagues and taking away your name out of the book of life. In other words, you could physically die if you're doing that. The bottom line is where they stand on the truth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You see, at times it may seem that this world is winning. Wickedness in our culture certainly seems to be gaining ground. But our victory in Christ is guaranteed. And we can cheer for Christ's victory even now. Folks, this world may seem to be winning, but it's good to remember the rest of the story. Jesus has won the victory, and we have everything to look forward to as a result. Amen? Well, that ends our Wednesday night Bible study summary. And I trust that we'll see you on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday's coming. And we're looking forward to a great day in the Lord. You know what, folks? God is good all the time. See you Sunday.